Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we are we're on the cusp of Nisan. We're getting ready, and Bayom Hashmini, the parsha Bayom Hashmini happened. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? This week's parsha Bayom Hashmini was the day of the Hakamas of Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. The eighth day of the Miluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and at the beginning of the week, I had a kernel of a thought of what we were going to speak about, which is connected to last week's. Well, anybody who's here will, as always, make more sense. For those who are not, we'll chaz over a little bit. But I think it was yesterday in the afternoon. I was thinking, I didn't really get to work on anything yet, but I was thinking, you know, I don't have a song. I don't have anything right now. I had a thought of, you know, a Dvar Torah, but so then, what do you do then? So obviously, you go to Spotify and you go to the search bar. And I typed in the two words that I was basing a lot of what I was going to say on. I hadn't worked it out yet, but two words that were going to be, you know, of the crux of it. And Yishai Ribo's name popped up because I put in the words Riboy, like more. And then Yishai Ribo popped up. I said, you know what, we haven't used a Yishai Ribo song in a long time. So I looked at his new song, which probably most people have heard, and I'll just say, when the words Boker Shmini, right in the middle of the song, we were talking about Shmini Atzeres, October 7th, it's not a happy song, but when the words Boker Shmini popped out, I said, oh, Bayom HaShmini, and this became the song.
This is a new song that he wrote?
Yeah, within a few weeks.
Yeah,
look at the words, yeah, you have the words. The song is clearly about October 7th and what's going on. It's clear. So that's we're not going to take away from the Pashup shot ever, but we're going to add a little bit of a layer perhaps onto it. And all right, let's see. עוד יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של אמת כלנית ושקט יפרחו לשובם כל מה שעברנו בדרך גם טעינו אבל בסוף למדנו שלא נוכל לבד כל מה שידענו התברר שלא ידענו ואיך מיום שמחתנו אלינו רגע דל כל הדמעות הכאב שבקו מעלב עוד יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של אמת קלנית ושקט יפרחו לשובם בוקר שמיני יצרת בו הזמן עצר מלכת שואלים חיבלו בקרם לקחו את הגוף אך לא תצלם ואז תוך כדי האלם הרבנו טוב הגדלנו חסד גם ברזל וגם חרב ותפילות בבית הכנסת עד שכל הדמעות הכאב שבקו מעלב לא ישובו רקם לא לא שדות פרדסים של אמת מפוחית ופסנתר ינגנו את בעם תגדלנו, תדרשנו לטובה היום תכבדנו היום תאהבנו היום תמלטנו מכל רע היום תרחמנו שמור על חיילנו השבת שבויינו
לנו נחמה עד שכל הדמעות הכאב ששרפו את הלב יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של המת קלנית ושקט עכשיו פורחים לשובה
It's a big bracha that we could see what the words are that he's singing. Because although it's the sweetest of the sweet, you could actually, when you hear his voice, you think it's, you know, just sweetness. You don't hear the sadness. But when you see the words, then you understand how he's singing it. And he ends off with a bracha. Everything's like right at the end of Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur. Ham Tam Tzenim, Tevarcheinu. Okay. So it's the Yom HaShemini, it's the 8th day of the Miluim. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Aaron and his sons the Avoda, the Karbanos, the Ketores, the Shechita and the Zrik, all the different Avodas, preparing them that they, Aaron and his sons, were going to be, of course, the Kohanim. They're going to take over the Avoda. They're going to be the ones forever to serve a Kodesh Baruch in that place. Moshe Rabbeinu was not ever going to serve ever again in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And it was the 8th day. Finally, ready. The 8th day was really going to be the first day where Aaron and his sons take over. And try to imagine for a second, try to imagine a little bit of the Mikdash or Mishkan, whichever, you know, visual is easier for you. And you have Moshe and Aaron working on a carbon chatas, maybe an ola. They're setting it on the Mizbeach. And they have the in front of the Mizbeach, there's a ribbon. They're going to have the ribbon cutting ceremony, right? Because they're going to open up the Mishkan for the first time. And so they put the carbon up, right? They're waiting for the fire to come down from Shemayim to be able to take up L'Reich Necho. We spoke about this last week, the Eish that came from Shemayim. And the ribbon's ready. And Moshe and Aaron set up the karbonos. And they're waiting to cut the ribbon. They're waiting for the fire to come down. They could finally say, okay, the inauguration. We have to wait for Kodesh Baruch Hu to set the time. And everybody's there. Klal Yisrael's waiting. You know, Vasas Nias is there. You know, Yeshiva World has their cameras there. All there with the scoop. The liquid scoop is there. And everybody's focusing on the foreground. Everybody's looking at the Mizbeach, waiting. Moshe and I are waiting. But if you looked in the background, you would see two men walking. A little further off in the distance in the background. Nadav and Aviu carrying a fire pan with some fire. Whatever. Who knows what they're doing? Not really clear. We're not really looking at them. We're looking at the Mizbeach. When's it going to come down? Moshe and Aaron waiting to cut the ribbon. Another Neviu slowly just slip past everybody with a fire pan. They walk into the Kodesh. They get to the Kodesh Kedoshim. There's an explosion. Fire comes down from Shemayim. Enters into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Shoots its way out into the Kodesh. Onto the Mizbeach. The carbon lights up, and you see Nadav Aviu dead on the floor. Bodies are whole, but their insides are totally burned out. On the day of the inauguration, Nadav Aviu were killed in the Kodesh Kedoshim, serving Kodesh Baruch Hu. What happened? What happened over there? What did they do? These are tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chazal tells us that they were bigger. Nadav and Aviu were potentially on a higher level than Moshe and Aaron, maybe not right now, or they were going to become. They were going to take over Klal Yisrael. And what was the mistake? How did this happen? Also, Chazal, it's very interesting. There's many, many opinions what exactly they did to deserve death. Was it because the Pasuk says there was an Eish Zara? They did this weird avoda that they didn't have permission. Some say it's because they drank wine before entering into the avoda. Later, right afterwards, Hashem tells Aaron HaKohen, you're not allowed to drink wine. So everybody says, oh, it must be that was the problem. Some say it's because they didn't get married. Other people never got married. Some say it's because they're more halachah b'fnei rabu. They pass into halachah in front of their Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu. At the end of the day, the pasuk says, Eish Zara. It says they did something inappropriate. They took an Eish Zara, a foreign fire, and a vote. They didn't ask permission. They weren't told. So what is it with all these reasons? Why do we need all the reasons when the Torah says, Eish Zara? Why are we looking for something else? And also, it's interesting, I was thinking, why is it really called Bayom HaShmini? Yes, it was the eighth day of the Miluim, but that the Iker was, it was the first day of the Mishkan. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, starting fresh. We know the world was created on Nisan, right? The Shem HaShem Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's in its, you know, straightness. You know, every month has a different sequence of Yud Kei, of letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei starts in Nisan. We start the whole year in Nisan. So it's really the first day. It's just said Bayom HaRishon, corresponding to Bereishis Bara Elokim. Chazal even talk about it. From the second of Bereishis Bara Elokim, the world was waiting for this day. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaKamas HaMishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting to build it. He built the world, and he was waiting for Adira B'tachtonim in this world. So just say Bayom HaRishon. What's Bayom HaShmini? So to begin, we have to chazer over a little bit of last week. Last week we were speaking about the fire. This week is about the fire. So there has to be a connection. Last week we discussed what was the need for a fire, an Eish of the Hedyot, of the Kohanim, to bring a fire when a Kadosh Baruch Hu anyway was going to send a fire, and ultimately it was his fire, Kadosh Baruch Hu's fire, that was going to burn up the Karbanos. So why did we even need the fire from a human being? So this is where we spoke about the sugi of Mad and Man, Mai Duchrin, Mai Nukvin, which as a quick chazara, we discussed that there was an Olam HaTohu, right? There was that world of Tohu, it was chaotic, it wasn't orderly before there was even a world. And as the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was coming down to create a world, Mitzamtzem, Tzimtzum after Tzimtzum, the Sfirus, the Kalim of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that were going to ultimately be the building blocks, and they are the building blocks of this world. Each one, again, this is a mashal, of course, each one thought that he can contain all the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. At a certain point, once it hit Chesed, you know, the Mochin could handle it, but once he hit Chesed, they couldn't handle it. And the spheres cracked, called Shvir Sakeum. There was a breakage, the light fell down, the Or fell down. And then, after a Hishtalshus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, created, called the Olam HaTikun, the world that was fixed, the world that we're living in now, forever there's a proper relationship between the light and the Kalim, the Or and the Kli, which is the Sugya of Mashpia Makabo, the Sugya of Yichud, of Zanuk, of Isha and Isha, the sun and the moon, that whole world, that all the relationships that we have in this world came and is the avoda of this world. That's the tachlis. This mad, mayin duchrin, the shefa that comes down from Shemaim, and then the man, the mayin nukvin, which is our avoda that we send back up. A relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch. That's the Olam HaTikun. That's when things work well. Each person only takes what he can handle. And we said last week that the Rizal says that the main place for this avoda of the mad and the man, this avoda, the most open place for those who are involved in Panimius HaTorah, it's open in Panimius, is by tefillah. Well, then it's the entire avoda of tefillah, Shemana Esri for sure. That's what the chef is coming down, we're standing up, coming down, going up. But we discussed that all of our ishtadlis really in this world, not just Torah mitzvahs for sure, but all of our ishtadlis really, if it's Hashem Shemayim, it's called Mai Nukvin. If we live for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even going to work, even walking on the street and smiling to another person, if you're doing that because you're a Yid, you're a card-carrying Jew, you have a yarmulke, you have tzitzis, you fear God, and you're a man of God, so it's the Shem Shemayim, it's Kavanah, so then you're sending up sparks, you're sending up, you know, messages to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then he reciprocates and he sends down Shefa, Mayim Duchrin. We also discussed that whenever there's a beginning, a big beginning, there's often a Shiras HaKelim. The Beis HaMikdash, Beis Rishon, Beis Sheni. Right? Big Or, it was too much. There was a Shvira, Mamash broke. But, every Shvira is not, it's bad in one regard. In the Chitzonius, it's bad. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But in the Pnimius, it's Olam HaTikun. Right. Every shvira is because it must have been an olam hato. If there's a shvira, if there's a breakage, that means something was off. We weren't able to handle that. We couldn't handle the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't respect it properly. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Shvira. But from a Shvira comes an Olam HaTikun. A beer of the Kelim. A refinement of the Kelim. So after the Churban, we got Tefillah. Right? Before we didn't have a structured Tefillah. It was only the Kohanim that served 3 times a year. All the Jews came up. But after the Churban, all Jews had an opportunity. Right? With Tefillah, structured Tefillah, like the Karbanos. Right? Our Shemoneh Esrei is compared to Karbanos. The way you have to keep your feet together, you have to have your feet on the ground. Look in the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tzadi. Very, very compared to the Karbanos. So from the Shvira, although, again, on one hand it's not good, but out of it comes a tikkun, something that the world needs. If you can't handle the light, then we need something else that we can handle. And we discussed also the De'egel. De'egel was also a Shvira Sakem. It was too much ore. The people thought that they can build an emtsoy, a medium between them and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was above their pay grade. They should have waited for Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the true emtsoy. It was too much for them. They were jumping madrigas, and therefore there was a shvira haluchos. There was a breakage between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain way. But out of that came the Mishkan. Right? Out of the eagle comes the Mishkan, according to Rashi and others. Right. So there's always, but the process of life is that there's a riboyor and there's a shvira. And then there's a tikkun, there's a proper relationship. Or unclean. And that's where we ended off. That the Mishkan, it was the place where we had to rework our relationship. But Kadosh Baruch Hu noticed, saw that, understood that we needed a place to connect to Him. The Egel wasn't going to be it. But we needed something like that. The people wanted to connect on their own, not just through Moshe Rabbeinu. So they needed a place where they could see with His galus. And therefore, that was the relationship between the Eish. The Eish that we bring, that's called Man, my Nukvin, our Avoda, because we need to be part of it. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true Eish, comes from Shemayim. You're the fuel to my fire, as we write here last week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Eish is from you. So Hashem sends an Eish, we have an Eish, it's a relationship, or in Kli. Our Eish doesn't really do anything. It's just a Keli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eish can come down. This was last week in a nutshell. So The avoda of man, my nukvin, our avoda, that we send up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So of course it's all tar mitzvahs, and it's all hishtadlus. But the Sfarim tell us that if you really want to send up, right? Because we have to, if you want to shoot it up to Shemayim, not physically obviously, but in Pnimius, it needs wings. It needs a jetpack. How do you get it up? So the way you do that is with Pnimius. Ahava, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing the mitzvah, Ahavas Hashem, B'yiras Hashem, B'dveikis, Lishma, all the inner workings, all the mitzvahs are gevaldik and they're huge and we should continue to do them forever. Torah mitzvahs. But they're almost just kelim. They're like, the Zohar Kadosh says, if you don't have Ahava and Yira, if you don't have the inner avoda with the outer avoda, if your heart is not on fire, if it doesn't have a ratzon, doesn't want to do this avoda, so will you get schar for the avoda? Sure. But it's not going to go to Shemayim. Either a tzaddik will, says the Sfarim, the tzaddik will bring up your avoda, or if one day you have a tefillah that's on fire, it can raise up a lot of other tefillahs that didn't get to go up. This is another big sugya, another time. But the problem is that we have to understand that the ratzon has to be appropriate. Because sof sof, all of our avoda is never or towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's always kli. It's always kli. So as much rutzin as we can muster, it still has to be appropriate. It still has to be appropriate, and there are rules. The Rashbam writes on the parsha, by another view, not only did they bring an Eish Zara that they didn't ask permission, it was not told to them. They did something that they weren't asked or told. Not only that, says the Rashbam, when the Pasuk says that they took fire before HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent His fire down. They jumped the gun. They were trying to jump madrigas. They were trying to reverse the order. When in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're the fuel to my fire. As much as we can do, we have to remember, we're just a kli. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brings the ish. So the avodah was supposed to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the fire down, and then Nadav and Avihu should have taken the fire. According to this opinion, then it would have been okay. But they jumped the gun. And they tried to bring a fire before HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and what happened? So they're walking with the fire pan, right? Moshe and Aaron are waiting for the fire to come down to the Mizbeach, to light up the Karbanos. Nadav and Avihu jumped the gun. They're carrying a fire into Kodesh Kodashim. And what happened? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the fire down, according to one opinion, it came down to the Kodesh Kedoshim, and then it shot out through the Kodesh to the Mizbeach. The problem was, Nadav and Avihu were in the way. They shouldn't have been there. They jumped the gun. Don't stand in the way. That's dangerous. But they had such a tshuva, such a ratzon. They weren't bad. They were such big tzaddikim that they overdid it. And therefore, they were standing in the line of fire, literally. And then they died. But you see that the fire took them as a carbon. Right? They wanted to be, that's what they, that their tshuka was so strong, it was l'mayla min ateva. It was l'mayla min ateva like Yom HaShmini. Because the eighth day, besides the band, is called l'mayla min ateva. We know 7 days of the week, seven lower spheres, that's called teva. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. But Yom HaShmini, that's one above, we always say, the Maharal says and others, Yom HaShemini is L'mai L'min HaTeva. Another review, we're living L'mai L'min HaTeva. The problem is, sometimes that's not always good. Sometimes if you try to jump, it's going to be considered an act of Mesiras Nefesh, which is not always appropriate. Right? There are concepts of Mesiras Nefesh where a Jew is supposed to actually give up his life, but it's only very few times. If lo aleinu, a guy puts a gun to your head, right? Not anybody here, but and says you have to not keep. I'm not saying it's for Hesed. There's a lot of rules to it, but if it was in private. There's 610 mitzvahs that they tell you you can or can't do. The opposite of what Hashem says, you're supposed to just do what they say. Three times you're supposed to give up your life, but the rove, 610 times they tell you not to keep this man. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to listen to them and not die. You're not supposed to. It's not supposed to live a life of Mesiras Nefesh in that way. So if you overdo it, overratzon, you try to reverse the order. You're trying to be the Mayin Duchen. You're trying to be the Shefa. So you can't make it. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Okay, I'll take you up as a carbon. That's what you want to be. You're living l'mayla min ateva. You're acting as if you're actually a carbon. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "It's fine." And we know that the fire only burned their insides. The bodies were still there, right? Usually a fire should burn everything. It didn't. It went into their nose. Right where the place of Vayipach Ba'ap of Neshmas Chaim. Kadosh Baruch Hu blew the neshama, life, in through the nose. So that's why the fire went into their nose, because it just took out the neshama. They were living a life of L'mayla min ateva. They were just body. They didn't get married because there were no body. They were living L'mayla min ateva. They didn't want anything to get in the way of their avodas Hashem. They drank wine beforehand because wine can get you higher. Wine can bring you to a state of whatever's holding you back, wine can take any of that away. They're more halacha b'fnei rabo because they felt that they were higher than Moshe Rabbeinu. And in a certain way they were, just not yet. They weren't yet bigger. They were going, they had the potential. But if you try to bring your potential too early, and there's a churban. If Adam Rishon would have only waited until Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas, it would have been mutter, they say. But he jumped the gun. So the Eish Zara, which was actually a fire, is really the name for all types of avoda that are weird. It was L'mayla min ateva. Eish Zara was a weird fire. Here, Eish means avoda. It was an avoda zara, not avoda zara mamish, that they're serving some other god, but they were doing an avoda that was weird. Drinking the wine, all these were avoda zaras. Eish zaras. Again, I was asking, why is it Why is everybody looking for a different reason when the pasuk says Eish Zara? They're not giving different. They're not. They're all explaining what Eish Zara means. Drinking wine before going in was an Eish, was an avoda. I don't want to say avoda zara because it wasn't avoda zara. It was a weird avoda. It doesn't say if the pasuk wanted to say literally that they brought a fire of ketores that was inappropriate. It should have said a ketores zara. It doesn't say ketores zara. It says Eish zara because it was the Eish. The Eish of their avoda. Their fire, their ratzon, their chukah, which we all want to have, but it was too much. It was too much. Eish zara, if you do the gematria, Eish zara plus two, one for each word, is gematria tefillah. Because that's the place of mad and man, is place of tefillah. That's what the kabbonos are. Kabbonos are a place of tefillah is in a place of kabbonos, but it's supposed to be an appropriate way. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends the fire down and we reciprocate. Not we try to jump the gun. The Eish Zara was a tefillah, but it was the wrong way. It was almost making demands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu before. Can't demand from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So of course they had a tremendous desire for a yichud. But again, it was too much of this world. And this really started with the eagle. Because the eagle also was Klal Yisrael, again in one opinion, in the Panemius way of looking at it. Of course, what they did was wrong, like the pasuk says. They did a avodah zarah, but in a penis way, they wanted to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They were looking for a yichud. But it was a riboyor, because they weren't ready for that. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader right now. They tried to jump the gun, and who helped gather all of it? The gold? Aaron Cohen. And Chazal saying this expression that Aaron Cohen, really his children should have died. From the Egel Zav. That's why it says that Elazar and Isamar, the remaining ones, meaning after Nadav and Avihu died, but Chazal say it was the remaining ones because they all should have died as in response to the Egel Zav. Because the Egel Zav was also Riboy Orus. They were trying to jump Madrigas. And Aaron was part of that on his level. We're not judging Aaron Cohen, Chas Hashem. But Mida Kenegan Mida, then two of his children also went to a place of Lamala Menateva, of Riboy Or. Riboy Or breaks. Riboy Or brings a Shvira. But maybe we could ask, even with all that, what was so wrong with what they were trying to do? Aren't we supposed to try to bring the fire? Let's say a person, he's not feeling excited to daven. Aren't we supposed to do whatever we can, jump around, listen to music, to bring the fire. Achrei pu'ulos nemshach halavavos. After the action goes the heart. So aren't we supposed to sometimes bring the fire first? If I don't feel a fire of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my heart, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't send down the fire first, I don't feel anything, am I not supposed to try to bring the fire? So what was so wrong here? They were trying to bring the fire. They're trying to serve him. They're trying to bring the fire first. Right, to be ma'orer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the fire down. They're trying to be ma'orer. The union of man is also to be ma'orer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to send down. So what was so wrong? Mesil Sasharim says in Chassidus, I didn't give a warning before. I'm being mekatzer and being metzamtzem. A lot of sugyas in one. But this, it would take 5 hours. So it is what it is. Second question, again, itself is a whole sugya, but we'll just say it. The Mesil Hashem says in the Chelik of Chassidus, which is really the Shahr of Ahava Hashem, Ahava, he says that if you truly love someone, if you truly, truly love someone, you know them and you know what they want before they even say it. That proves how much you love that one. You know what they want and you'll do it. Before they even say it. So didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want a fire? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want the head yod to bring a fire? Doesn't Hashem want our avoda? So they loved the HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that they did what he wanted first. They brought the Eish. So it's Ahavas Hashem. Why should they get burned off for Ahavas Hashem? You can ask even Vayter. We have a concept called Oros de Tohu, the Kalim de Tikkun. the light of Tohu, but in the Kalim of Tikkun. See, generally in Olam HaTikkun, in this world that we live in, there's the light of Tikkun and there's the Kalim of Tikkun. Regular guys, we learn hard, we daven hard, we try our best. But then sometimes you have a person who's Lamai Lamenatev, Tzadikim, a person who mamash puts his all in, more than the regular, Lamai Lamenatev. He brings the Orus of Tohu, the light from beyond, into the Kalim, the vessels of now. He davens beslavis every day, he's on fire the whole time. He learns hours upon hours, blot after blot. He gives much more tzedakah because he just loves the mitzvah much more than anybody else. That's an act of mesiris nefesh, but not of dying. It's a mesiris nefesh of putting everything you have into Torah mitzvahs. That's how tzaddik. How do you think Rav Chaim Kanievsky knows what he knows? He was living in a different madriga, Orus the Toh and Kalim the Tikkun. What he knew, all the tzaddikim, and whatever you know type of avodah you're talking about. Mesiris nefesh doesn't just mean dying. Mesiris nefesh means you're being moser your nefesh, you're giving your all. The Rosh Hashanah says Mesiris nefesh is man. Mayin nukvin. That's the highest type of mayin nukvin, when you mamash give it all. So not the viewer, giving their all. They had to die for that? So what's going on? What exactly is going on? What was so bad? Yes, it was maybe too much rotzen. Okay, so sit them down. You know, guys, like relax a little bit. Not so much jumping, you know? Sometimes you also have to be serious. But what? Why do they have to die? So what was the tachas of the Mishkan? What was the tachas of the Mishkan? Vasu the Mikdash Shachanti Besochem. Tachas of the Mishkan was a Kaddish Baruch Hu should come down, dwell amongst Klal Yisrael. There should be a relationship, a loving relationship, as we discussed many weeks ago. That's the whole tachas of the Mishkan. That Klal Yisrael needed to feel love, to open love from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They needed to love a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They needed to feel love. This is the place of Chasan Kala, the Mishkan. Right, Yom Chasanuso. We discussed this with Dr. Shemari's house many weeks ago. And all these sugyas come back together. So, it's a place of strong yichud. We saw with our eyes the Eish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw the Nisim. We saw the Bar-Yom. Place of yichud, Ahava. Again, another large sugya. We're just going to say Rosh Tevis. But to have a proper Ahava, that's not hefker. Because ahava could become hefker. To have a proper ahava that doesn't become hefker, you need gedarim. You need gevura. You can't give your kids every single thing that they want. You love them so much, you give them whatever they want. So the kid says, I want a Lamborghini. I want this candy. I want that candy. I want this game. I want that. That's hefker. That's too much. You make spoil them. They could die. It's too much. So it needs healthy... a healthy balance, a healthy gevura, healthy gedar, to balance. There's an avoda. Our avoda is usually milamata lamala. Right? There's avoda from lamaila lamata. Sometimes that's mochin down, but sometimes there's an avoda of milamata from the bottom up. For example, the first avoda of all, before anything, is the makabel malchus shemayim. If you're not makabel malchus shemayim, then what are you doing? That's malchus. That's the lowest sphere. From there, you go to Yesod, and then you can work your way up. But if you work from down up, Gevura comes before Ahava. Mm. To have a proper Ahava, Ahava Hashem is the highest. Ahava Hashem is the highest. But to have a proper Ahava Hashem even, you need a healthy Gevura. Right? You need to build, because Gevura means building the structure, and then Ahava fills it up. But if you have Ahava first, which is just expansive love, it could be too late. You can't make boundaries on that, and then it becomes hefker, and then somebody can get hurt. So to create a proper yichud, you need a shmira. That's why, when it comes to the Mishkan and the Mikdash, what's the mitzvah of the Mikdash? Not befrat karbonos. There's a specific mitzvah when you enter into the Mikdash. It's called mora b'mikdash. To fear, not fear being scared of punishment, awe, serious. There's really a Borei Olam in this place. Whoa. Meaning it's not just, it's not me, it's him. Awe. There's no mitzvah of ahavas hamikdash. Ah, that's the tachlis. Because to get to the tachlis of a shechanti besochem, you need the mitzvah, which is often the chitzonius, not in a bad way, in a good way. You need to build a structure. You need a shmirah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in the world. We discussed this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in the world. Ein Sof. But yet, until we built a structure, a defined place, which seemed to minimize him, no, it didn't. It gave him a specified place that we can appreciate him. So only when we built the Mishkan with midos, with exact measurements, which is called gevura, then a Kaddish Baruch will come in, and then we can have a hava, we can have that relationship. This was a different chabura. Right? So the whole inyan of the Mishkan, the whole inyan is really an inyan of awe. Of awe. If you live with that awe, then you could experience the ahava, the yichud, the zivug. That's the whole inyan. And therefore, we understand. When it comes, there's two types of avodah. There's a person who has a mitzvah, and there's somebody who does something above a mitzvah. What am I saying? The Gemara says, Godol mitzvah va'ose, another big sugi, I'm sorry. Godol mitzvah va'ose, mimisha ain a mitzvah va'ose. Greater is the one who's commanded and does than the one who wasn't commanded and does. The obvious question is, what do you mean? A person who's told to do something, that's good, and he does it. What about a person who wasn't told to do it and he did it anyway? Wow. The kid wasn't told by the mother to clean up the room. They did it on their own. That's much greater. No? Wow, the kids finally, they learned. What Chazal say? Kaldum and Tzuvah. Because in the Emes, and it's a Chiddush, and I said this before, this many, a long time ago I said this Chiddush, and I think it's the Emes. There's two shlavin. There's a mitzvah v'osa, and there's a misha ain a mitzvah v'osa. Who's higher? Really? Misha ain a mitzvah v'osa. That's ahava. You know what the beloved wants, and you're ready to do it, even though you're not commanded. But you can't get there until you live a life of a mitzvah v'osa. Right? You can't know what they want until you listen to them many times, and you're commanded to do again and again and again. Then, after you've proven that you're a mitzvah v'osa, that you do what you're told to do, then you can go above and beyond and do even what you're not told to do. Because the inyan of mitzvah v'osa is the inyan of yira. You're an eved, you're told what to do. You're proving that you're subservient, you surrender yourself, you're makabel ol. Then, after you're a real eved, then you could be a ben and you could do above and beyond. But until you live that life in mitzvah osa, you can't do misha ena mitzvah osa. So when they wanted to bring the fire, a misha ena mitzvah osa, as eish zara asher lo tziva, that's what it says, you can't do that on the first fire. They jumped the gun. Because the Mishkan is a place of avodas hayira, avodas of awe, of mitzvah osa. You have to listen to the rules first. The Mishkan, the Mikdash, you make one thought outside the rules of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're dead. And they did. Even the Kohen Gadol, if he had one off thought, he doesn't follow the rules exactly, you're dead. Because the place of the Mishkan was the place of Yira. Klal Yisrael needed a place that there was a seriousness between them and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It can't be a Hefkerveld. From that place, each Jew can find a Yichud, an Achdus, an Ahava with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what they did was totally the opposite. It was the Panemius. But it wasn't appropriate in this place. And so what happened? Every time we said in the beginning of the Chabura, every time there's a Shvira, because there was a Riboyor. What happens after that? There's a Tikkun. The Tikkun fixes everything up and makes the relationship appropriate. So when they jumped the gun, the Mishkan is an amazing and awesome level of light of a Kaddish Baruch coming down. Mishkan? Dibur Tachtonim was like the likes that Klal Yisrael never saw. When they jumped the gun and they tried to live in that world of Misha Enim Tzuvos, a place of Ahav, of Yichud, to try to just jump into the relationship and make an explosion, that was inappropriate. So Kadosh Baruch, what did he do? He killed them on the spot, an act of Gvura. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'krovaya Kadesh, Kadosh Baruch says, with my, the people that I'm, the choicest, the highest people, I am going to become holier than the fact that they died here. Why? Because forever people are going to fear and be in awe of the Mishkan. Meaning their dying in that place created the ultimate tikkun, which is Mor B'Mikdash. That's where the original Mor B'Mikdash happened, in that place, from them. And then, from that, then a person can have the Tachas HaTov. Then he can get to the Avos Hashem. But you have to follow the rules first. Vayavu Moshe v'Aaron elo ha'moed. Moshe and Aaron come to the ha'moed v'yetzu v'yavaruch l'sa'am. And they give a bracha to the nation. Vayera kavod Hashem. And they're waiting to see the kavod Hashem. Kavod is malchus, is yira. Not a hava. Kavod. V'teitze ishma l'fnei Hashem. And the fire finally comes out. V'tochel ha'mazbech. And it went to the karbonos of Moshe and Aaron. Goes on, eats the carbon on the mizbech, the olah. Vesa chalovim. Vayar kolam vayaronu vayipolu al peneihim. And the people were all singing, but they fell to their face in awe. Because the place of Mikdash is a place of simcha, but it's a place of seriousness. And that was the tachlis of the Mishkan. So when you come back to the song, so again, we're gonna read the song. Again, the Pashup Shot, we know. But if you could read it a little bit differently, he starts off, we'll just read the English, all the tears and the pain that broke out from the heart when another of you died. But from that pain, they will grow a world. Because the Tachas HaTov is going to come out of their death. Because out of a Shvir Sakelim comes a Tikkun, comes a Marba Mikdash, an appropriate way. And it'll bloom upon their return. Another of you are going to come back. Everything we've been through along the way, we also made mistakes. Right? There are mistakes made. They thought that they could bring an Eish Zara. But in the end, we learned that we can't be alone. We can't bring the fire. HaKadosh Baruch has to bring the fire. And he has to go first. All we knew, it turned out we didn't know. Sometimes you jump the gun. You think you know, but you don't know. It's too much. And how from our happy day, the happiest day of creation was by the Hakamas of Mishkan. On the happiest day, another of you died, we don't have a dull moment. From that moment, it was supposed to be the happiest day. Already in the day of the happiness, already there was a tragedy. Boker Shmini, he says Shmini Atzeres, obviously, but it's the Boker of Yom HaShmini. That's when everything stopped us. Again, they took a body, but not the image. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, because it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the image, the tzelem, he took the neshama, but not the body. Right? Our enemies could try to take the bodies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only takes the neshama. And then during the shock from the Shvir Sakelim, unfortunately, on October 7th, the Shvir Sakelim came in increased goodness, increased kindness, both iron and sword. We have those who are on the battlefield right now, and prayers in the shuls. And we are here davening. So out of the Shvir Sakelim, lo aleinu, comes a tikkun, comes achdus, comes sparks. And then at the end, he starts giving the brachas that we should rise up in a kaddish, we should bless us, should help us grow, help us see goodness. Because in the world of tikkun, after, there's a shvir. Unfortunately, there are shvirs in life. And it's painful. But there is a tikkun, and there are brachas that come. And brachas will come. This parsha is almost over, Mitzvah Shem. It's almost over. And many, many madrigas, b'frat and b'chlal. And the Mitzvah Shem, at the end of the day, even though there's tears, until all the tears, the pain that burn the heart, will grow forever. Orchards, fields of almonds, now blooming for their return. Return of all those who are lost, those who we want to bring back. Mish b'zoch, Mitzvah Shem, Meir Meinu.
כל הדמעות הכאב שבקעו מהלב עוד יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של המת כלנית ושקט יפרחו לשובם כל מה שעברנו בדרך גם טעינו אבל בסוף למדנו שלא נוכל לבד כל מה שידענו התברר שלא ידענו ואיך מיום שמחתנו אין לנו רגע דל כל הדמעות הכאב שבקו מעלב ועוד יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של המת קלנית ושקט יפרחו לשובם בוקר שמיני עצרת בו הזמן עצר מלכת שואלים חיבלו בקרם לקחו את הגוף אך לא תצלם ואז תוך כדי האלם הרבנו טוב הגדלנו חסד גם ברזל וגם חרב ותפילות בבית הכנסת עד שכל הדמעות הכאב שבקו מעלב לא ישובו רקם לא לא שדות פרדסים של המת מפוחית ופסנתר ינגנו את בר תתרשנו לטובה היום תכבדנו היום תרבבנו היום תמלטנו תמלטנו מכל רע היום תרחמנו שמור על חיילנו השבט שבוינו אמציא לנו נחמה עד שכל הדמעות הכאב ששרפו את הלב יצמיחו עולם שדות פרדסים של המת קלנית ושקט עכשיו פורחים לשובם